Say thank you for being here. Welcome. And let me be, if you haven't had this said already, Merry Christmas to you. I hope that this is truly the most wonderful time of the year for you. My prayer for you right now, for all of us, is that we would experience, that we would understand, that we would receive the peace of Jesus Christ. You realize that today we're celebrating, this is kind of like a party. We're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And so what I want to make sure that you do is I want to make sure that what you're feeling inside is expressed right here, that you're excited about being together. Some of you, maybe it is Christmas Eve. That's exactly right. This is a great time. That is what we're joyful about. This is Christmas Eve. We're celebrating Jesus Christ. So welcome. Thank you for being here. You know, we have been in a series over the last several weeks called Go Tell It on the Mountain. And we're wanting to tell everyone we know that Jesus Christ is born. If you're a guest here today, welcome. If you don't have a church home, we would love to have you come back and be with us. The next time we're going to gather like this, and I hope that it looks just like this, we'll be on New Year's Day at 10:45 tomorrow. We're asking you to gather and worship with your family, that you would open up the scriptures, that you would be able also to have, we have an online component that we're inviting you to take part in, where we'll be singing together. There'll be a short message by Pastor R.C. Ford at our Stewart's Creek campus. We want to invite you to open up the Word together with your family. Discuss the Word. Make that one of the very first things that you start your day with, celebrating Jesus. A couple of other real quick things that I want to make sure that you know about. We're still taking up our offering for missions, the one-day offering. You can drop it off in the box in the back as you leave. Make sure those, some of you have already asked about that. You can do that on the way out. Make sure you label on it, one-day offering, so that it goes where it needs to be. Again, welcome and thank you. I want to start us a little different tonight than what we normally do on a Sunday when we gather together. Going back to, with this being a series about going to tell it on the mountain, we've been looking at Mary, we've looked at Joseph, we've looked at John the Baptist. We've talked about the angels and about them going to share the good news. We've talked about how this series is called Go Tell It on the Mountain, and we should be telling it on every mountain, every valley, every driveway, every place you come in contact with people. We want them to know that Jesus Christ, He came, He was born, He lived a perfect life, He died for us. You know and realize, don't you, that the reason we get to have Easter is because He was born. That's the reason. The song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, I don't know how many of you know, but it even has some of its roots right here in Tennessee. It is an old African spiritual that was sung by slaves. Now listen, I want to tell you something. I hate the reason that we have this song is because there were people who were enslaved. But I don't want us to miss the beauty of the lyrics, of the words, of what that whole song says. In just a few moments, we're going to be singing that song together. And I want you to hear a couple of one of the verses. It says, go tell it on the mountains, over the hills, and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. That Jesus Christ is born. The name of the baby that was born was Jesus. He came to set us free. And I want to say this. I hate the reason that we have it today because of what was happening in slavery in those days. But that song gave hope. It gave freedom. It brought freedom to their spirit to sing about Jesus, their Savior. And today in this very room, there are some of you, you need freedom. You need hope. And more than that, you need a Savior. And I want you to hear me. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, He was born. He was born. And today, we're going to light the Advent candle that this is an Advent wreath, and we've been lighting these candles over the last several weeks. joy and hope and peace and love. And tonight we come to the final candle, the one in the middle. It's called the Christ candle. And the reason that we light it is because Christ is alive. Tonight I want to start us by reading Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. And so if you would you stand in the honor of the reading of God's word as we read about the one for whom we light this candle tonight. Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This is the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they had saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Zion.
Amen. Let's continue standing and let's sing our worship to Jesus. Sing this joy to the world. The Lord has come. And joy to the world. Far as the curse is found, far as love, in wonders of his love, in wonders, wonders of his love. Yes, Lord, we sing your glory out. Sing, he rules. We sing, oh, he rules the world with truth and grace and makes the nations prove the glory. Sing this out, go tell it on a mountain while shepherds kept their watching. And while shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell, and go tell it on a mountain over the hill. And everywhere go, tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. So the shepherds feared and trembled, and the shepherds feared and trembled. Sing this next part together, that we'll go to all the world and preach the gospel that he is the Lord and King of all. Christ. speak the gospel that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, and go with everything and preach the good news that Jesus Christ is King.
Yes, he is the King. Let's keep singing together.
Christ the Lord.
Amen. Won't you go ahead and be seated? When you get a second, will you bring that over for me? A couple of really quick things here. If you got your Bibles, I hope some of you do. Turn them on, open them up. You're going to see them on the screen. If you don't, we're reading. I want to focus in for just a few more minutes here on Luke chapter 2. And I want us to kind of focus, if you don't mind, on verse 11. Verse 11. There's a reason, ladies and gentlemen, that we still today spend time talking about the most... Thank you, brother. You do that really well. Talking about this story. You realize it is the greatest story that has ever been. You realize that all other stories find their true meaning in this story. So I want us to focus for just a few moments. Just a few moments. I don't want us to run by this evening, this afternoon, I guess I really should say. Before you go and you start all the parties, I want us to spend a moment looking at this verse. Because this verse, verse 11, is kind of like when you're stringing up the lights on the tree and you have if anybody does that anymore, maybe you all have pre-lit trees. But then you're looking for that one bulb. Everything else is not light. It's not lighting up, but there's that one bulb that if you can find it, that's what verse 11 is in this passage. It is the heart, in my opinion, of this Christmas story, verse 11. And I want to read it. You're going to see it over and over. This is what the verse says. The verse says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." A Savior. You can circle that. "Who is Christ?" You can circle that. The Lord. You see, this right here is the very heart of this passage. This right here is what it's all about for us. Because tonight, around your trees, maybe some of you are going to do some things around your trees. Maybe it'll be in the morning. But the whole reason that we're celebrating is because of verse 11. And there's three real quick things that I want you to see here. And I'm going to go ahead and give them to you. Number one, what we celebrate is a baby who was born. We celebrate a baby who was born. We also celebrate a baby who was born to die. A baby who was born to die. And we celebrate a baby who was born to reign. Let's look at this very first one, the baby born to save. The angel told the shepherds, said, "Listen, we want you to go there into the city of David, into Bethlehem, and what you're going to find there is you're going to find a baby. You're going to find this baby." And this baby, did you catch the little words that it says, is born unto you. It's born unto you. You see, this right here, this announcement, this isn't just a general notification that kind of runs up on your phone and it tells you something from USA Today or ESPN. This is a very specific notification that the angels gave to those shepherds. It says, "Unto you this day, a Savior has been born." Unto you, a Savior has been born. You see, this baby wasn't just one who was born. You realize there were probably a lot of babies born in Bethlehem over those next couple of days and around that time. But this baby was very different because this baby was born to save. This baby's name is Jesus, and he was born to save. I think what happens is many times we just kind of skim over those. But it's very important that we catch this. This is a personal message to you and me tonight. This afternoon, this right here is a very, very personal message. That unto you tonight, there is one who was born, a Savior. A Savior. I don't know what you're in the middle of, but I want you to know there is one who has come to save you. There is one who's come to change you, one to rescue you, one to change you. Unto you is born a Savior. And I think what ends up happening is we run by that so quickly that we don't really catch that we're in need of a Savior. I'm looking around. We got a lot of kids in here. I love children. I love having kids around, all right? I have a feeling that your home in the morning is going to be like my home used to be on that morning. somewhere between 4 a.m. and 6 a.m., you're going to wake up startled. It's like there's these eyes that are just looking at you. It's like, oh gosh, how long have you been standing there? You're going to get up. You're going to walk out. You're going to get to the tree at some point. And every kid in here, every child that's in here right now, all right, guys, listen. You've got things that you're hopeful that you're going to find under that tree. When you start pulling off the bows and all the packages, you open the boxes, you've got all, you're already thinking about what you would desire to have. But mom and dad, you know things that they really need. Like socks and underwear. And Can we all agree about something right now? Nobody really gets excited about socks and underwear or sweaters. I see that head. I see people shaking their head. All the kids are going, nope. Oh, I got one over here maybe. But parents, you know what they need. You know exactly what the children need, your kids need. Here's the thing. Our Heavenly Father, like a good father, knows exactly what we need before we ever need it. And he knew that we needed a Savior. And while we were still apart from him, we were dead in our sins and our trespasses. I want you to hear this. He sent his son because we had a great need. And the issue right now is do you realize, have we realized that this baby Jesus, he was born to save. He was born to save. He became our Savior. What I do know about people in this room right here, I look around and there's so many different faces in here. And what I love about this at the time that we're in right now is because we've got people in from the first service on Sunday and the second service. We've got guests. I don't know all of your situations. I don't know your socioeconomics. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know what's happening in your families. But here's what I do know. Here's what I do know is that we all are in need of a Savior. Every one of us. And this baby that was born, the one that was born in the city of David, the one who was born unto you is born a Savior. Born a Savior. And I want you to know, I've been praying that tonight, this afternoon, I keep saying tonight, this afternoon, I don't want this just to be a nostalgia time where we remember the good old days, where we remember and sing just the good old songs. You realize Jesus Christ is alive today. He is born, and we celebrate a Savior who was born for you and me. For unto you this night is born a Savior. His name is Jesus. Not only was this baby born to save, but number two, he was born to die. Look again at verse 11. It says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ." Who is Christ? The word Christ. Now, just in case there are some of you who don't know this, Christ is not his last name. It's not Jesus, like first name, Christ, last name. Christ means anointed one, the one who has been set apart. This baby that the angels announced, they said, listen, there's one that's been born to save. He has come now. He is born to die. He's the one that all of the prophecies of the Old Testament are about. This one has come. Because you're in need of a Savior, this baby has come, and he was born to die. He was born to die. And you see, unless we realize that great need that we have, that need of a Savior, do you realize that we will never fully appreciate the baby that was born unto us? Until we realize and recognize how important it is for us to turn from our sin to the Savior and accept his gift, his death on the cross. You see, Jesus is the one who was set apart. He was the one who was promised from long ago who would come. He's the one who would come to save us from our sins. But you realize He had to die for that. That baby had to die so that we might have life. You know, the scripture tells us, we read in this chapter here, right where we were reading just a minute ago, that they wrapped him in swaddling cloth. You realize that he grew out of the swaddling cloth. There was a day he was no longer in the swaddling cloth. The scripture goes on to tell us that that he continued to grow. And as he grew in wisdom and in stature, in favor with God and man. He grew up. He learned a trade. He walked this earth. The scripture tells us that he lived a sinless, perfect life. This baby, yes, he was, we sung about it just a minute ago. He was truly man and he was truly God. Tonight, on your way home, tomorrow, I want you to listen. I don't know, do you listen to the, how many of you just sing the songs, the Christmas hymns, without ever listening to what you're singing? He was truly God and truly man. And this one that was truly man, he walked this earth. He lived a sinless life, perfect. The scripture tells us in Hebrews, in the New Testament, that in every way he was like us. He had been tempted like us in every way, yet he was perfect. He is able to sympathize with us because he understands. He understands that the one who was born to save also lived a perfect, sinless life. He laid his life down. He was born to die. And so many of us, we're looking for things around that tree right there in the morning that are gonna fix things. We're gonna gather around a table and we're hopeful and we're prayerful that things are gonna be fixed. But I need you to know, there's nothing around that tree that's gonna fix us. It will only be that tree right there that fixes what we have. That's it right there. The one who was born to save was also born to die. The third thing quickly is this, is that baby was born to reign though. Listen, yes, he came to be our Savior. He came to die for us. And I need you to know, today he is alive and well and seated at the right hand of the Father, reigning forevermore. He is alive. He's alive. And we celebrate that. Yes, Lord Jesus, thank you for your birth. Thank you for your death. And thank you that today you're reigning. You're reigning on high. Listen, if Jesus had just come and lived and died, he rose again, he went back to heaven, that should be enough for us to climb all the mountains, to shout, go tell it on the mountains. But I need you to hear, take that this next step. You realize he's reigning and ruling and he's coming again for us. I said this at the beginning. The reason that we get to celebrate Easter is because there was a day when he was born as a child. So this is a day that we celebrate. Many of you, you're stressed, you're worried, did we get the right gifts? I'm meeting with family. Is the table going to look right? Dads, you're like stressing right now because the Titans are on. You're missing it. What am I going to do? I've got to drive somewhere. Here, I need you to hear this. Jesus is alive. He was born. He was born to save us. He was born to die for us. Today, he is reigning on high, and we can say come what may, Jesus, you're alive and well. I believe in you. I trust you. Today, that's the most incredible gift that you could receive today is the gift of eternal life. You're worried about what you're going to give. Today, my prayer is that you will receive the gift of the Christ child. That if you've never surrendered your life to him, you don't know him as Lord and Savior, that today, before you walk out of here, when you get home, you would talk to somebody. You would just even bow your head and knee and say, God, forgive me. I've trusted in all kinds of things. But today, I turn to you. And I'm trusting in you. I'm trusting in your son, the one who was born to save, the one who was born to die, the one who is reigning on high today. You realize when we think about Christmas, we're not just celebrating a baby. We're celebrating the advent of a king who came. A king. The king of the world. And that night in the manger, that manger pointed to a cross. And I need you to know that cross today has given way to a throne. In that manger, there were no crowns that would fit that baby's head. That didn't make him any less a king. I need you to know that the Bible tells us that there will be a day when every king will lay all their crowns at his feet. And that baby's name is Jesus that we worship, that we celebrate. Tonight, we're going to move into a time of communion. The Lord's Supper, we call that. And I'm going to ask our deacons and the staff, whoever is passing our plates, would you please begin to make ready those right now? They're going to come by, and they're going to be passing on both sides of the aisle. And communion, the Lord's Supper, this is a memorial meal. This is a meal that we take, those of us who have surrendered our lives to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If there's never been a time, parents in the room, if your children have never surrendered their life to Jesus, I would ask you, this is not for them. This would be a great opportunity for you. You can go ahead and begin to pass. This would be a great opportunity for you to be able to talk to your children about this. Why do we take communion? I also want to say this. If you're an adult in here and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I would ask that you just let that plate go by. Because you see, this is a memorial meal. And whenever you have a memorial, you're memorializing, you're remembering something about a person that is meaningful to you. You see, this isn't just a ritual. This is truly us remembering the one who was born to save us, born to die, who is alive today. And he is reigning in our lives, so we come together to remember. The scripture tells us in the book of Mark that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread. One side of this is bread, the smaller side. It says that he took bread and that he told his disciples, "This bread symbolizes my body that is broken for you." And after they passed it around, it says that he prayed and they ate together. And we'll eat together in just a moment. It says, following that, he took the cup. The other side is the juice. This is juice. They had wine. We utilize juice here for those that this would be a conscience issue for. And so says that he took that juice and he said, this wine, this is the blood of the new covenant. Hebrews tells us that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. And this is to symbolize the shedding of Jesus' blood, the broken of his body on the cross. There's nothing magical about this. This is special, though. We don't believe that this becomes the body or the blood of Jesus. This is a symbol of his body broken. A symbol of his blood. But I need you to know also, we don't treat it as just a mere symbol. My wedding ring is a symbol of my marriage, but I need you to know it's very important to me, and it's very important to my wife. So tonight, we're going to take this together. I'm going to ask if you would you take off the small piece that would be the bread side? Pull that, if you'll take the bread. Scripture says that he took the bread, he broke it, he passed it, and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you." Says that he offered a prayer. Father, we come to you and we thank you for your body that has been broken on the cross so that we might have life. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Take and eat. In the same way, it says he took the cup. So if you would turn over now and you have the cup. This symbolizes the new covenant, the blood of Jesus spilled so that we might have forgiveness of sin. Won't you now take and drink? Jesus said, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of him. That when you do, you're proclaiming his death and his burial, his resurrection until he returns again. Tonight, as we get ready to close, and we've got one more song that we're going to sing. The way that we always close, though, is with our candles. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. The scripture tells us, Jesus said that who lights a candle and then puts it under a bushel, under a basket? No, it's set out so that all can see, so that all can see. So tonight, the way that we're going to do this is as we always do. In just a moment, I'm going to go and I'm going to light my candle off of the Christ candle, the one for whom I have no light other than him. And I'm going to light off that Christ candle. And when I finish, our staff is going to come forward. And when they come forward, they're going to be lighting off of my candle. And then they're going to come and they're going to go down these aisles. And then you're going to light off of their candle, symbolizing how the light of Jesus Christ passes. How it passes. And we're going to begin to see that when my small light takes on 250 light and passes on, we're going to see what, as a symbol, the power of the gospel can be.